Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm a long-time health person and PhD scientist by background. And as soon as I started taking the product, I noticed a difference right away. Even though I take a lot of different supplements, I noticed a change for the better with this product. And the idea, when I first heard about the product and what your company was doing, I thought, boy, this is the way you make a vitamin. So I'm very happy with it on several levels. Not only do I feel the difference from this product, but I'm happy that there's somebody out there making a product like this.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
In my 30 years as an agent, I have never witnessed the conditions we are currently facing on the southwest border. This is not a manufactured crisis created by those of us who live and work in the border area.
Hi there. Don't you remember that? That clip from a few years back and Nancy Pelosi was trying to say it was manufactured? That's why he said it's not manufactured, because we're living here and we're seeing it. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. I have quite a show for you today. It's a really kind of eclectic mix of a lot of things that we're going to talk about. Some not politics, believe it or not. I've got a full roster today, and we're going to wind up the show with John D'Souza. And got a great topic there. It's a Friday show. I'm just going to say that. It's a Friday show for sure today. So I want to invite Tina Horlocker on. This event coming up in June is really important. And I really wanted to make sure that you realize who's going to be speaking at this event and get tickets and get up to the northern part of our state to this event. Hi, Tina. How are you?
I'm so good, Kate.
Good.
Thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. I'm sure people are starting to see some of the ads for this, and I've seen them locally and on billboards and things like that. Please tell us about the event.
Okay. Yeah, I really hope people are seeing it, because it is going to be a seriously fabulous and really an event of the year.
Yeah.
And it's at the Maverick Center, June 17th and 18th. And one of the things we're doing is honoring veterans. So our veterans can attend for free. They go to the website, utahliberty.com, and they can RSVP there. So the speakers that we actually have a lot of veterans that will be speaking. And some of those veterans are Rear Admiral Chuck Kubik,
yeah,
Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer, Tom Homan, Teddy Daniels from Pennsylvania, and a few others. So those are, if you don't know who those people are, two of them are former President Trump's top advisors. Rear Admiral Chuck Kubik was his foreign policy advisor, and Tom Homan was also an advisor for him. Cass Patel, was his chief of staff, and they have some real intimate knowledge there. Now, on the Friday evening, which is a VIP dinner, it's going to be more of an intimate setting. Those tickets are going really fast. That will be Rear Admiral Kubik. It will be Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer and Cash Patel. So that's going to be a very interesting evening, listening to people who really know what is going on. And by the way, Lieutenant Lohmeyer, he is from Space Force.
Oh, okay.
He will have some very interesting things to be telling us. And you know, the thing that I find that's so interesting is it's our veterans that are trying to wake up people. At least that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
A lot of our veterans are saying, hey, people, wake up. We've got to take action. It's going to take we the people to make this happen. So we've got also David Harris Jr., Mel Kay. We will be learning a lot about the World Economic Forum, the WHO, all of those groups and organizations that are really trying to wreak havoc on the United States and on our liberties, including Dr. James Lindsay. Have you had him on your show before?
I don't think so. It's 350 a year. I don't think I have, though. Pretty sure.
Okay. I'll try to get an interview with him with him next week for you.
Okay.
Mindy Robinson, who has, she's a former actress turned investigative journalist. She did an expose on the mass shooting in Las Vegas, and it's It's crazy.
Right.
And I know you know that because you were there at that time that
was happening. It was.
We have Trennis Evans. He was in D.C. on January 6th, and he's going to be telling us more of what happened there and the political prisoners that we have in the United States right now. This is something we need to be aware of because it could literally happen to any of us.
Right. I agree.
We have Robert Aggie. He does the Banners for Freedom, and he's super interesting to listen to. It's going to just be a fabulous evening. We've got Dr. Brian Artis, Andrew Lee, Jonathan Harvey, Representative Phil Lyman, Mike Brown. It's seriously going to be an amazing event, and those are not all of our speakers. We still have some that we have to announce. So,
awesome. Very cool.
There's going to be a lot of vendors, and we have a special this weekend because of Memorial Day. If you get on right now and purchase your ticket, it is $39 for Saturday.
Wow.
And on top of that, we have a youth ticket of $29 because we feel like our youth should be here.
Yeah.
This is information that our youth can take in. They need to understand what is happening. They are going to be shouldering the burdens of what is happening for decades to come. So our youth need to understand and get the right information. So over this weekend, we've got our Memorial Day weekend special of $39 Saturday ticket.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy the Friday ticket, that includes Saturday.
Okay.
So
awesome.
Anyway, you can buy those. And then we also have space for vendors. And we will have a lot of vendors there.
Nice. Like last time, it was great.
One last thing I'll tell you is that Nathan Osman is going to be performing that evening. He's going to do a concert with his band. I talked with him the other day. It's just going to be so amazing.
Nice.
Fabulous, patriotic, inspiring, all of those words. It'll be a lot of fun.
Wonderful. So, hey, thanks, Tina. And what's the website? What's the website again?
UtahLibertyFestival.com.
Okay. Thank you. UtahLibertyFestival.com. Thanks so much. I hope everybody goes. I really do. Really?
Yeah. You too.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I really appreciate it, Tina. Great events, you know? Isn't there a lot of great events? Like, you can tell people are getting so worried. And now with the smallpox news, I got flooded this morning with articles about monkeypox, and they're going on and on about monkeypox in the news and smallpox. And Bill Gates has been warning about smallpox for a long time. So, specifically that it's going to drop at an airport somewhere in the United States and go from there. And I mean, yada, 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 right? He's been in the news again and again and again, telling us our future. He just somehow knows. And so we've been talking about the Sarracena purpurea for a long time on the show, right? Since 2021, since I think it was like July of 2021. And I'm going to tell the story about that. Then I'm going to give you some details about that, the details that everybody asks me about in the next hour. And I hadn't planned on doing that, actually. That was kind of a last minute thing. I thought, I'm getting all these emails. People are like, oh, I never ordered that. What should I order? And how much? And what do I do? And so I will talk about all of that and some of the studies and so forth. So in the next hour, and then we have John D'Souza following in the following hour. So he'll be talking about UFOs. He was on, he actually was on Coast to Coast. He's retired FBI. He was talking about the disinformation versus all kinds of angles that they use with UFOs and paranormal. And so it's going to be a fun hour. I mean, way to end Friday, right? And go on to the weekend. So there's that. Now, I'll tell you something, just a couple of things about the whole Dixie State change and how they're doing it early, and it's not supposed to happen until July 1st, Dixie name taken out under a whole pack of lies to give you Utah Tech University, boring, bland, awful, marketed terribly, Jordan Sharp at the helm, what a loon bag, and making sure that they drive Dixie into the ground so they can bring you Utah Tech. So I wanted to just comment on this for a second. The only ones buying the shirts, the only ones that are actually really loving this is some staff and the student body presidency and BIF. That's it. Those are the people that are buying the shirts and thinking that this is the most amazing idea that they've ever come up with. My biggest question for people that ruin society like Jordan Sharp and BIF Williams and all this, they're hell-bent on bringing their agenda. Why did they come here and join a university that they think was terrible, that they had to come in and change it? What made them come here? Why did Biff Williams take the job here as president of a university when all he wanted to do was change it? Why is Jordan Sharp here? He was the one that said, it's sexy. Remember that? Like a name change is sexy. I just wanted to give you this clip because I have a whole different topic in the next two segments of the show. But I just wanted to give you this clip of Jordan Sharp. This guy. Wow. Yeah. And then, of course, a great comment by Randy Wilkinson about all the lying that took place. Because I just never want us to forget what we just went through. Here's Jordan Sharp, who's really kind of running things at the university with Biff Williams. Here we go.
And I have found that Polytechnic is what we're doing now and where we're going. So as a marketing standpoint, it is more authentic. I'll say that. Now, I was a little sad because the tech is sexy.
Wow, the tech is sexy. That's Jordan Sharp. He's a real gem. He's out there ruining our city and no one's doing anything about it. Yeah. Yeah. That piece of work. He's gross. Here we go with Randy Wilkinson talking some truth. Love Randy. Here we go.
But also, we cannot help but conclude that with all of that good effort, it has been intentionally wrapped in a predisposed strategy to demean, disparage, and defeat the Dixie name and minimize adherence to the history, heritage, and traditions of the residents of southwestern Utah, or better said, the people of Utah's Dixie. Much of the information presented has been, at best, quite anecdotal. Other more objective parts, including surveys and supposed community assessments by consultants and pollsters that you have hired, have been very much called into question. Yet you seem to have simply ignored the question and continued as if the data is absolutely correct or really doesn't matter. There are those in this community that do in fact represent thousands who object to what you are doing and are able to largely discredit the work of your consultants as well as this process.
That was a great comment by Randy Wilkinson, as opposed to the horrendous comments and character of Jordan Sharp in the beginning, talking about how sexy the Utah Tech is. It also reminds me when he said polls of there's a new poll out, GOP poll, to put Vickers up in the numbers. Patrick Larson is missing from the poll. That's the kind of devious crap you get from Vickers, state senator. He's missing. And Patrick will win. Patrick Larson will win. I hope so, because at least you have a chance. But that's how devious they are, and I just wanted you to know that. They left Patrick off the poll, said undecided. And they sent out the poll, knowing they left Patrick out. As far as Dixie goes, I wish somebody would put up a billboard that said Biff lied, and the Dixie logo with took this and gave us this. Took our culture and gave us this with the new Utah Tech University logo. And just so people can see, I would like to see some t-shirts like that too. Biff lied. Biff and Jordan lied. And then a picture of the old Dixie logo, or the Dixie logo with the other logo. We need to be really out there, really showcasing what just happened to our whole city because of these guys, right? Because of Julie, because of all these guys and gals that were hell-bent on taking away the Dixie name. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
7,000.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
We've been traveling far without a home, but not without a star.
Kate Daly Show. You guys remember this song? I have such a different topic for you right now. And sometimes on Fridays, I like to be just a little different in content because we just went through a whole horrendous week of news. And trust me, next hour is scary. So, you know, I have to have a break sometimes. Make sure you get over to ABC Auto. They are fantastic and the greatest auto body place in all of the whole entire county. ABC, they're true patriots, good people. They'll fix your car up and they'll work with the insurance company for you. Just if you're in an accident, just think ABC. Okay. And help those, you know, when you get in an accident, your brain's kind of mush. Just make sure somebody, you know, you're telling somebody, you know, to go call ABC. They're the best because even the car rental companies will tell you that they love ABC. ABC is great. Also Garage Doors Only. I love those guys too. Garage Doors Only on Bluff Street, 435-868-1200. You have to dial the 435 and you're going to get the best garage door and they'll even come fix one they didn't even install. So call them and they have the best ads. So Best of Southern Utah. What a great, great, great company. Garage Doors Only. Just get your garage door from there. Look, I want to talk a little bit about this story because my husband and I were actually wondering this and this question, and it kind of sent me down a little rabbit hole that wasn't too hard to figure out, but it's always been odd to me. I grew up in California. In fact, that song that I just played, the Neil Diamond song, I actually sang that eighth grade. They had all the choirs from all over Southern California go to the Anaheim Convention Center, and we all sang that song, okay? And that was in the low 80s, I think. Yeah, like 1980, 81. And I remember the whole entire place being filled, and it was a great song. What's not to love about that song? The only problem is that we have manipulated what that song means, and that's one of the things I want to talk about. I also want to talk about, and you're going to laugh. I know you're going to laugh. Why do the Asians make such killer donuts? It's such an odd thing, right? It's a weird anomaly. I mean, come on. It's not something that has anything to do with their native culture. And so my husband and I were actually really talking about this on one of our last trips to California. And as I was going down this little rabbit hole, I just found it kind of fascinating as to why this story happened. So I want to share a clip from a little documentary with you. Now, the host of this little documentary is a real left leaner. Okay. And so you're going to hear some statements that are kind of like, like, you know, she's just promoting the whole, hey, anybody can come here and you should, and doesn't matter how you get here. Don't be vetted and just come. And that's really not the message. That's really not the message I enjoy. Nobody has a real right to come here unvetted. They don't have a right to it. Come here invited, come here, you know, and be vetted. But you'll hear her kind of talk about it in those ways. But I want you to hear the person that she's interviewing. This was a woman that owns multiple donut stores all through California. Now, in California, it's usually all over the place. It's like one donut store for every 30,000 people. Okay. In California, it's one donut store for every 7,000. Instead of 30,000, 7,000 people. That's a lot of donut stores. And there's a reason that there's a reason that Cambodians own 80% of them. Okay. And it really is kind of a story sort of intertwined with what the point is in me telling you this, is that we have very much manipulated what it means to come to this country. So here is a few minutes with the gal that owns a bunch of these donut stores. She also came here with her family. She was one of the first during the Pol Pot massacre leaving Cambodia. Here's her story.
To have a business. It's American dream just to do anything here. I mean, America is definitely opened up doors to many refugees like myself.
But before her family acquired more than a dozen donut shops in Southern California, they were literally just trying to survive.
When you talk about things like that, it kind of brings back memories. The suffering, the starving.
Lim's native Cambodia was thrust into war when communist and anti-communist forces battled for the nation's post-colonial future, according to Richard Kim. The war was actually an extension of the Vietnam War, which consumed Indochina. All of it rolled up into the Cold War, which was an ideological struggle about the spread of communism. The brutal war lasted for most of the 1970s, but the conditions that ignited it have been years in the making.
It's the result of decades of colonial rule under the French and the power vacuum that was left with the ousting of the king, and the power struggles emerged over who had the right to rule Cambodia.
Kim says the U.S. wasn't allowed to step foot in Cambodia because it had been declared neutral ground. Instead, the United States conducted an aerial bombing campaign that failed in its objective to destroy the supply line that was the Ho Chi Minh Trail. The bombing killed Cambodians and devastated the land.
This bombing devastated Cambodia and Laos, and this is probably one reason also why the Khmer Rouge were able to mobilize support from the peasants in Cambodia to win the civil war, because many of them turned to more radical ideology as a result of the massive bombing.
Khmer Rouge would go on to rule Cambodia with torturous tactics and cruelty, including what's become known as the Cambodian killing fields. They were sites where people were murdered, sometimes clubbed to death to save bullets. And a key moment during the war was when the Khmer Rouge conquered the capital city of Phnom Penh in 1975.
I'm going to talk about that more in just a little while, and this is more about her coming to America.
Cambodian civil war would kill at least 1.5 million people, but the real toll could be up to 2 million. And even the bit of freedom Lim found in the refugee camp wasn't a break from her suffering. In some ways, it was a reminder of what she and her family had lost and lacked.
They were watching this lady bought candy for her children, and my mom looks at me, and she couldn't afford it. And I just feel bad for my brothers.
Lim's family spent a few months in the Thai refugee camp before her uncle Ted Ngoy sponsored them to come to the U.S. That's how she ended up here in Southern California. She says her family was among the earliest Cambodian refugees to the region. Lim didn't speak English, and the transition was difficult.
America is like, where is America? You know, didn't know where. And when we got to LAX, it was so weird. It's like, you know, big, tall people, white people. Like, you know, you never seen white people.
Her family arrived to an America deeply divided about accepting refugees.
One Harris poll taken in May 1975 found that 37% of Americans were in favor of accepting the refugees. 49% opposed it, and 14% weren't sure. Even President Jimmy Carter essentially refused entry to 40,000 Cambodian refugees before later taking a more humane approach to the conflict's victims.
Don't you love that? Okay, so you caught a lot of some of the lies, because they didn't tell the whole truth to you. They didn't tell you that the thing was Illuminati banking on both sides of these conflicts, all of the screwing around with these countries our CIA did. They didn't talk about that. And then it was about being humane and taking people in here. Now, one part of the story is about, and I'm going to go into a little bit more detail about why the Cambodians in particular took up the donut trade, because that's a really fascinating story. But I also want to say that in the mix of this story, you just heard a lot of things. You heard from the University of California, Davis, who basically was kind of telling you about this without really telling you the whole truth. And then they made it into, is President Carter going to be humane in taking people here? Okay. The problem with that story is they don't talk about the screwing around that we were doing in causing some of these situations to arise, and then if we don't take everybody in at the last minute trying to escape communism, we're the bad guy. But these people do change our country. They do. In California, the start of the big change there was in the 70s, and more people and more foreigners came to this land with their socialism. Now, I'm not talking about this woman in particular or maybe some of the Cambodians in particular, but this has been sort of a systemic problem in shifting a state. This, California used to be very, very Republican, used to be very conservative, I should say. And so it turned into a very democratic state. And a lot of people feel like they just have the right to come here. Well, it's wonderful. I actually think immigrant stories are really great because everybody has one. You have one. I have one. Ours might be ancestors in the past, but we all have an immigration story. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be American. So we can all relate on that level. But those that go through those proper channels, there's a reason for that. And the founders were very explicit about why. They were very explicit about it, and they wanted a long time in order to sort of rid oneself of oneself socialism that oneself got used to in their other country, the only thing that they had ever known. There was a reason for vetting. So to cross out vetting and say everything's always an emergency and we always have to take a lot of people into America, that is not an okay ideology. We have what they've done in the press is painted as something that is very, very necessary. Oh, we're the only ones that can save people. And so what we'll do is we'll go meddle and we'll cause all these things to happen. And then if we don't take everybody and their dog into this country, then we're the bad guy. We have to have empathy. It's not about that. What we should be doing is identifying the problems as to why people are coming here in the first place, right? In an emergency situation. Then you have the people that come here that are vetted. And vetting is not a bad thing. Could they streamline it, maybe make it less expensive? Sure. But vetting is not a terrible thing. What the founders wanted were people that came here that were true Americans, that understood what we wanted here. Understood what an experiment this was, understood that how special a constitution, was. And so this story, you're going to get a lot of mainstream media falsehoods about why these refugees are in the situation they're in, and then why we must take them in immediately without any vetting at all. That's where the fraud is. Okay. And so the whole story, and maybe I'll put this on show notes today, but Pol Pot's regime, it was very surprisingly similar to the French Revolution 200 years before. Both revolutions began in the French capital of Paris. Both revolutions conducted deadly purges, it's true, and resulting in the death of many. He was brutal. And rightfully so, people wanted to escape, and I don't blame them for wanting to escape. They were being murdered. And also when they took over, both Pol Pot and the French declared this is year zero. I mean, they were both sick. You know, everything about it was sick. And they both did, they made their own 10-day calendar and rejected the thought of any God. And both revolutions were curtailed within a decade. And both were financed by Illuminati bankers. Okay, so there's a lot we could discuss there. And maybe I'll do that on another show. But when I come back, I want to tell you why we have so many Asians, so many mostly Cambodians that own donut shops, because it's kind of fascinating as to why this happened. And I think many of you could probably go back and forth to California and travel, and that's where that story originated from. So I'll talk about that because it's kind of a fun Friday show topic. But I did want to say there's so much misinformation, too, about who holds the strings in these battles and wars. We're facing it right now with Ukraine. You should be able to by now see through the lies of Ukraine, of what's really gone on there too. So maybe hopefully a better vision of what's going on around the world. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show to finish out this story.
.com. We often hear elections have consequences, which is true. The consequences may be bad or good, dependent on who is elected. There are some problems with our elections. First, we should not vote if we are completely ignorant of who we are voting for. A vote for the unknown is a vote for tyranny. Second, we must face the fact that all computer systems and servers can be hacked. We hear it every day. Banks, government systems, retail stores, and now even the Ukraine's computers are being hacked. So why should we not believe our election computers can be hacked? Demand paper ballots. Uncle Milty here for HearingAndBrainCenters.com, 435-612-1023. HearingAndBrainCenters.com, 435-612-1023.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Everywhere around the world, they come to America. Every time that flag's unfurled, they come to America.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. It's a great song. Nobody can fault that. It's just been hugely manipulated. The cause of the immigrant always in an emergency system to come here so that we're, or just fleeing and getting in somehow. So no one's vetted. And that's a problem. It is a problem. And so I've got lots of views on this. People might disagree. Oh, all right. That's fine. But we do have a big problem. Now, I'm kind of concentrating on a lighter aspect of this, is why donut shops are run so well by the Asians. What in the world? Why donuts, right? Have you ever wondered this? And so 80% in California are actually owned by Cambodians. So, and the rest is like a mixture, Chinese, Vietnamese, and why donuts of all the things? So let me bring you back to this gal that was interviewed, because she was talking about leaving under the, and now keep in mind, Pol Pot, and you have Mao, and you have all these people. The whole design of what they were doing in killing people, murdering people by the droves, was a depopulation effort from the beginning. Okay. And so these people wanted to escape. I think we might be in a situation where we want to escape the United States because it gets as bad, because we're allowing all of this stuff to happen. It'll take longer, but our steps are there. Can you see them? And so another part of doing this story is, where do we go? They were able to come here. Where do we go when we want to escape what's happening here, as they get more and more and more authority bound, okay, tyrannical? I mean, these places that we're talking about where these people were escaping from got tyrannical, and it didn't always happen overnight. There was a series of steps that took place. Here's her story.
They really didn't take much. I mean, we only brought maybe a few clothes to change, some food, a little bit of money. There's not much to carry because there's so many people trying to get out of the city on foot. No cars. We basically walk miles and miles and miles.
Her family made it out to a refugee camp in Thailand, but many others wouldn't or couldn't. Lim's infant brother is among the war's casualties. He essentially starved to death. Cambodian civil war would kill at least 1.5 million people, but the real toll could be up to 2 million. And even the bit of freedom Lim found in the refugee camp wasn't a break from her suffering. In some ways, it was a reminder of what she and her family had lost and lacked.
Okay, so what happened was, she was one of the first families to come over, and they were quite fortunate to be able to come here, okay? And our press made it into this is an emergency, which it was. People were being murdered, so I'm not discounting that. Of course, people want a place to flee to. Of course. Why would they not? Everyone can have empathy for that. They come to California, and they're sponsored by an uncle, and he became what's called the Donut King. He was the Donut King, Ted Ngoy. Okay. He's the one that's actually started all of this. And so what happened was he was a high school student back in Cambodia. He fell in love with a girl. This girl, he was poor, but this girl was a little bit bigger background. Just kind of think, you know, a little bit Romeo and Juliet. He even got to the point where he was so infatuated with her and so in love with her, he tried to commit suicide because he was so in love with her. Okay. And they ended up together. And he just kept telling her, I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you. So basically this woman, because he was so poor, smuggled him food at night. And she basically, they made this sort of blood pact. That's why I said, think of Romeo and Juliet, promising to be together forever. And he even hid out in her room for 45 days. Okay. That was kind of the start of their love story. Then they married, started a family, and life was good until the Civil War broke out in 1970, and led by Pol Pot, okay? And that was between the government and the communist Khmer Rouge. That was Pol Pot. He was the leader. So Ted spoke four different languages. And he was offered a post as a liaison officer in Thailand by his wife's brother-in-law, okay? Whose family was kind of higher up in the food chain a little bit. So basically became to the rank of major, and he and his family moved back to Bangkok. And then every month he traveled back to Cambodia to collect the wages for his soldiers. But the situation at home got more and more dangerous. And on his last trip back to Cambodia to collect wages in April 1975, the capital fell, and he managed to escape on the last flight out. Okay. But his wife's parents, who were, remember, up the food chain, were left behind. And she later discovered that they were the first to be executed by Pol Pot and his cronies. So the next month, President Ford insisted that the U.S. should welcome 130,000 refugees from Vietnam and Cambodia. We're a company built by, you know, we're a country built by immigrants. You've heard it. But, and it's always a humanitarian nation, except they always forget that everything's always done in an, under an emergency, just like COVID is. Everything's an emergency. So Ted and his wife sold everything they had. They arrive in California on one of the first refugee flights with their kids and their nephews and their nieces. Okay. And they were housed in a refugee camp at Camp Pendleton. Now, I used to camp there every summer during these exact same years. Okay. In the late 70s, Camp Pendleton was a place where you could go camp and on the beach. Okay. Down between Laguna Beach and San Diego. So in order to leave the camp and find work, they had to have an American sponsor who would get them a job and somewhere to live. So that meant people in California had to sponsor them, okay? And I agree with people volunteering to help somebody, no problem there. That's wonderful. So for weeks, they watched their families leave, and they were suddenly sponsored by this pastor from a church in Tustin, Orange County. And this is right by Disneyland. Okay. And Ted worked as the church janitor, but then he realized he was only earning about $500 a month and it would never be enough to support his family. Entry level position, right? Okay. So with the pastor's permission, he went out and got two more jobs because this guy was sponsoring him as a salesperson and as a gas person, petrol attendant. Okay. So then next to the gas station, there was a donut shop called DK Donuts. If you guys have ever been down to Newport or Disneyland, you'll see DK Donuts. It smelled delicious, and he was the first one tasted it. Reminded him of something at home, a pastry called Nam Kong, and he said it made me homesick. And he said all night long, Ted would watch people buying coffee and donuts, and he realized it was a good business. One night, he asked this woman at the counter if saving $3,000 would be enough to buy a donut shop. And she said he would be throwing his money away. So instead, she told him about a training program run by the donut chain Winchell's. And Ted became their first Southeast Asian trainee. You guys all remember Winchell's, right? And he said, I learned to bake, to take care of payroll, cleaning, sales, and everything. And one of the tricks he learned was to bake donuts in very small batches throughout the day to keep them fresh, because the smell of them baking was the best way to advertise. He's the one that started that. Because usually you get there at 1 o'clock in the morning, you're baking until 6 in the morning, right, when you open, and then the donuts sit. Well, he was baking them all day. So he completed his 3 months training at Winchell's, and it gave him a shop. Winchell's gave him a shop to run on Balboa Pier. And this was a tourist spot in Newport and not far from Tustin. And his wife became the smiling face behind the counter, even though she couldn't speak any English. And Ted did a lot of baking at night. And then his youngest son would sleep beside him in the kitchen. They slept there. So by 1985, 10 years after arriving in the U.S. as refugees, these two individuals, this married couple, were millionaires. They owned 60 donut shops, and Ted became known as the Donut King because of the many Cambodian immigrants he sponsored. And I have no problem with that. Sponsor all the people you want. Use your money to do that. I think as long as people come over vetted and we know who they are and we know why they're here, I definitely think so, because what we have here is so fragile. That's why. But the couple had all this flash. They bought a $1 million mansion with a pool and an elevator, and they achieved what Ted said, the American dream. Now, Ted started gambling in Vegas, lost all of his money, became a very bad situation. He even at one point joined a monastery, a Buddhist monastery, shaved his head, and moved away to Asia for a few months to try to rid himself of a gambling problem. Well, he basically came back. They ended up divorced. He was actually left with one donut shop. They decided to sell that. And they even got to the point where they were on their last dime and had been pulled over for not having registration, all kinds of things. But then they moved back to Cambodia and then eventually ended up back here. Now, He obviously was the guy that trained many, many, many Cambodians and Vietnamese on, mostly Cambodians, on how to make donuts and how to make them well, modeled after Nam Kong back in Cambodia. Slightly similar, not very similar to a donut, but slightly similar, okay? And the reason I bring up this story is, number one, I had a curiosity about why Asians of all people are making great donuts, because those are the donut stores you always want to patron, right? Those, they're always the best ones. Okay. The other thing was what a story it was about the warning of communism and what can happen when, if we allow these people that have cooed our country to run and continuously destroy our country, and they are actively destroying it, and we're not doing anything on the right to conquer that. In fact, even around this city and county, they're full steam ahead on Agenda 21, and whether they realize it or not, they and cancel culture with Dixie College and all the rest, they're actively destroying the country, even if they don't realize what they're doing. It's all the cogs in the wheel that make this happen from county and city all the way across America to make an eventual takeover by this happen, because this is how communism happens. Look at Spencer Cox and his whole One Utah. That's a very collectivist idea. He is a hardcore liberal progressive actively destroying the country using the state of Utah to do it. This is why I talk about him so much. This is why I talk about the people in the city, because if they're just ignorant and they don't know what they're doing, maybe hopefully they can learn and stop what they're doing. The explosive budgets, the low-income housing, the government tells you what to do and takes over your property rights. These are all communist efforts. And this is why it eventually got to a Pol Pot, and why eventually people had to escape with the clothes on their back from Cambodia to come here to start making donuts to survive. Okay? So they come here and they master this trade of donut making. I have no problem with that. Fantastic. You do something well, you get an opportunity, you can jump classes, which means go from poor to rich overnight. That is the American dream. Wonderful. Everyone loves that. Who doesn't love a story like that? You know, in America, anything is possible. But we are losing our freedoms here. We are becoming these countries that we talk about that flee here. We have a problem in not recognizing that. I don't want to be in those shoes. Do you? And so it really is a warning story. It's a story about how depopulation works. And we're at the helm of that right now. The people in charge are all depopulationists. They don't like you. If we don't realize that now, we might as well just give up now. Because that's where we're headed. Government has always been this way, even in Christ's time, even before Christ. Go look at the scriptures. The government was always hell-bent on taking liberty, always hell-bent on taking liberty. And they did. So, you know, you can read the scriptures and I guess deny them, but if you're going to read them, learn the lessons that they're trying to tell you. Do not trust this government. Do not trust pharma. Do not trust these entities any longer, please. And this story of hope and this story that's kind of quirky and ended up in a whole donut story. Now, when you go to California or Nevada or anywhere and you realize how many Cambodians picked up this trade, all because they were trying to invent a life for themselves. And it just so happened they had somebody that would train them in it. And that's why. It solved the mystery for me. I kept thinking, why in the world? Why in the world is this happening? But now I know. So for Quirky Friday Stories, there's your quirky rest of the story, Paul Harvey episode today. And then now I'm going to move on to Saracena Propropia, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit in detail because I keep getting emailed about it consistently since I woke up this morning and last night. So I need to answer some questions on that. So let's talk about that in the next hour. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm coming to you with one of the most important commercials that I've ever done. All of you know what MyPillow and myself have gone through in the last 8 months in my efforts to bring the truth forward. Well, now you can help in a couple ways. First, get everyone you know to go to my new media platform, frankspeech.com. There you'll find all the footage from my cyber symposium and many other important broadcasts. Also, I am personally doing a new daily live show to get the truth out. It's at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Secondly, I'm offering some of the best prices ever on MyPillow products, but they're only available on frankspeech.com. Go to frankspeech.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive MyPillow offers. Thank you and God bless.
Make sure and put the code word Kate, K-A-T-E. This will get you up to 66% savings at MyPillow.com. The code word Kate, my first name, K-A-T-E. Help support Mike, help support this show, and help support yourself in getting some amazing, amazing products. These are the best ones I've ever owned. Go to MyPillow.com, code word Kate.